But I want to share a little bit about the shepherds who were watching their flocks by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them and brought them this good news that Christ the Lord had been born in the little town of Bethlehem. And think particularly the way in which the shepherds responded to the message, because I think that has a lot to teach us today about how we can really respond to Christ. First of all, they seek him. I've got three S's. Well, it helps me to know where I'm going, and maybe you'll remember as well. First of all, they seek him. Secondly, they see him. And thirdly, they speak about him. It says in verse 15 that when the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told about." I think the first thing that we could say is that they responded with enthusiasm to this message that Christ the Lord had been born. It says in verse 16 that they hurried off to find Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They responded quickly. They didn't waste any time. They didn't, if you like, procrastinate to say, "Oh, well, we'll just go in an hour or two when the sheep are settled." They didn't make excuses. Say, "Well, we've actually just got to look after the sheep." They didn't just dismiss it and say, "Well, perhaps we've just imagined all this." Actually, when we read carefully about the shepherds and the way they responded, they didn't respond in any of those ways. We see that they responded without delay, without hesitation. They didn't drag their feet. They didn't make excuses. The very opposite to those things. It says that they hurried off when they heard the message. In fact, I would say they responded in a way that Paul later in his letter to the Romans called the obedience of faith. They hurried off to seek and to find Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, I wonder what our response is to this message that we heard so powerfully in that poem of the God who became man, Christ the Lord. God's call to each one of us is, first of all, a call to seek him. And this was the message that came so often to Israel through Israel's prophets. For example, in Isaiah, who said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And the prophet Amos, who said, "This is what the Lord says to Israel, seek me that you might live." And then in Zephaniah, who urged the people to seek the Lord, "All you humble of the land, seek righteousness, seek humility, and perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger." See, I believe the shepherds were among the humble of the land. They heard the message. They hurried off to find Mary and Joseph, and especially the baby who was laid in the manger. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, and this is like it's God speaking to us. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And of course, especially at Christmas, we need to remember the flip side of that. And the flip side of that is actually God himself taking the initiative in sending his son, as Jesus was later to say, to seek and to save that which is lost. We need to seek him, but he's already seeking us and calling each one of us. Of course, people don't always respond positively to the message of the good news. And in fact, if we just read on a couple of chapters in Luke, we find that Jesus was at Nazareth. It was right at the beginning of his ministry. And he was among people that you might actually expect to really embrace him and to receive what he had to say. In fact, it was quite the opposite. They responded very differently. In fact, it says in chapter 4 that all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this, that is, the message of the gospel. In fact, they were so enraged that they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff. But it wasn't his time yet, and it says he walked straight through the crowd and went on his way. As we read through the New Testament, we see that there were many who rejected Christ as the Lord. Many who questioned him and challenged him. That Paul later said, kind of people who are ever learning, but never really able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And quite frankly, some who just saw it as very, very bad news. Like, for example, the Pharisees on one occasion when they attributed Jesus' power to a demonic power. As we heard in John chapter 1, when John puts it so powerfully, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I think this really is really the reason why we as human beings, often initially when we hear the message, react so negatively. Because there's something about the light of Christ coming into this world which actually exposes our own darkness and the sin in our own hearts. But the shepherds set for us a tremendous example in their humility and in their heart to seek him. Of course, they'd seen the glory of the Lord shining in the darkness of those dark hills. But it says they hurried off to seek him and to find him. And when they arrive, they see him. It says simply in verse 17 that when they had seen him, they found Jesus lying in a manger. They saw the Savior whom the angels have been speaking about. They saw Christ the Lord as a human being, as a baby, and clearly no ordinary child. And personally, I think Luke's words, they saw him, suggests to us also that they saw him with the eyes of faith. Because responding to Jesus is more than recognizing that there was once a man who was an amazing teacher called Jesus, who walked upon this earth about 2,000 years ago. See, for us, responding to Jesus is seeing him with the eyes of faith. It means recognizing him as a Savior, the one who came to die for our sins. It means acknowledging him as Lord. It means, in a word, believing in him. Again, in Luke, in fact, in chapter 2, a bit further on from where we are, Jesus was presented at the temple. And when Mary and Joseph took Jesus into the temple, they met an old man, a godly old man called Simeon, who were told had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he saw Jesus, the baby Jesus, and he recognized something about this child, and he took him in his arms. And again, like the shepherds, he physically saw the child. He held him in his arms. But Simeon saw much, much more. He saw with the eyes of faith. And as he held the baby Jesus, he said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." And the question is, who do we see lying in the manger? Do we just see a cute baby and get all sentimental? Or do we actually see the way of salvation? It was Jesus himself who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father." And then, even more amazingly, I think, he said, "Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father." And in the New Testament, especially, in fact, in John's Gospel, to see him is really to believe in him. The shepherds believed. They believed that here was Christ the Lord. The Apostle Paul says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. But thirdly, the shepherds spoke about him. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. The shepherds sought him out, they believed, and then it says they spread the word concerning him. They were, if you like, the first evangelists of the Christian era. Someone said, this is an anonymous someone, "As lamps are intended to give forth their light, so Christian disciples are intended to spread the word." Of course, the shepherds didn't have a full understanding of all that Jesus would go on to do in terms of his death and resurrection. But that didn't stop them sharing what they did understand. It didn't stop them sharing the light that they had. And as followers of Jesus, it shouldn't stop us either. We're not all evangelists, but we're all called to be witnesses to those who share our faith in word and deed. And in fact, in Luke, and in his second volume, which is the book of Acts, this idea of spreading the word is very, very prominent. The word, which is the gospel message, it goes out from Jerusalem in the book of Acts to Judea and Samaria and then out to the ends of the earth. And we are here this evening, 2,000 years later. It started with the shepherds. That's a thought, isn't it? And there's an occasion in the book of Acts, in the Jerusalem church, in the very early church, where it says that a persecution broke out against the church, and they were all scattered. And actually, thinking about it, it must have been a very difficult time for them. But it tells us that all who'd been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And actually, Luke has put a little picture here for us. because the word scattered is related to the word for seed. It's like the scattering of these Christians was like seed being blown in the wind and landing and taking root and bearing fruit. There's a power in God's word. There's a power in God's word because it is God's word. Martin Luther of the Reformation said this: I simply taught, preached, wrote God's word, and wrote about it. Otherwise, I did nothing. I did nothing. The word did it all. I did nothing. I left it to the word. And it brings Satan distress when we just preach the word. And then we let him do the work. The shepherds were imperfect human beings like us. They were sinners like us. But their response is a model for us. And I wonder what our response is today. Maybe we're in that place where we've heard the message, but actually we need to seek him. We need to do, as is sometimes said, business with God. We need to find out more. Or maybe we're actually at that point of decision where we need to take that step of faith and believe and accept him as our own personal Lord and Saviour. To put our trust and our faith fully in the Lord, in Christ the Lord. Or maybe our challenge, because our challenges don't end there, our challenge is living out the Christian life as a witness. And actually we need the Lord's direction and help and vision for that. Well, different ways in which we can respond, but let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this Christmas Eve. Thank you, Lord, that we're here to remember the God who became man. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the New Testament. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Gospels. We thank you, Father, we read about the shepherds who sought after you, who saw and believed and shared with others and, Lord, lived a new life after meeting with Christ. Father, we thank you that the same Holy Spirit speaks to us tonight. And help each one of us, O Lord, to respond to those things that you're saying to us. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.